just hear those sleigh bells jingle and ring, ding, jingling too. Come on, it's lovely.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to my house, Rosie on the house. We're all decorated here. The tree's up, lights are on, eggnog is served. Merry, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah season to you all.
Santa, could you bring Rosie some buttermilk?
Please.
Whole.
For the love of God, whole, would you do it?
Whole buttermilk.
Whole buttermilk, sorry.
Whole, baby. Whole buttermilk. That's right. Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. In our article this week, we're talking about the things we've been asked the most this particular year. Now, I don't know why this question made it to the top of the list this year. Maybe it's because we have so many newcomers that have landed in Arizona. They want to know, why is stucco so popular for homes in the desert? Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, here's a couple reasons, and I'm going to give you a little history lesson. Back in the 50s and 60s, throughout the majority of Arizona, we were building masonry homes. Energy cost us about 3 cents a kilowatt. We were putting single-pane aluminum frame windows in. We were hardly insulating the houses at all because energy was so cheap. And we would just throw a monster air conditioning on that baby and say, hey, when you get warm, just fire that big boy up and you'll be fine. Well, there became a social conscious awareness through the 60s and the 70s where maybe we should be more responsible builders. So we started eliminating a lot of masonry while the masonry industry figured out how to insulate itself. And we went to wood framing. And in that wood framing, we would stretch some paper and some chicken wire over the outside of the studs, and then we would spread 3 coats of cement plaster on it. It was very cost effective. It was extremely messy, and it was kind of tricky applying it in the middle of the summer if a warm breeze was blowing, because you couldn't let any one of those coats dry out too fast, or you'd have some real problems later. Well, then we had an inventor, a chemist, a stucco contractor here in the valley, actually, who came up with an acrylic-based stucco. So instead of stretching paper and chicken wire over the outside of your framed walls, we would put a high-density 1-inch foam board up. Then we would stretch the chicken wire over that. And we would apply an acrylic stucco, which cracked a lot less than the 3-coat cement, was a little bit more durable. And now, rather than adding insulation to your house, we were adding what's called outsolation. So we kept all the heat farther away from the indoor living space. It actually drove, you know, we were building 2x4 exterior walls, conventional 3-coat stucco with R11 bats, and then putting 1/2-inch sheetrock, and we were accomplishing about an R18, 19, something like that. Well, then we went to 2x6, put an R19 bat in there, put a R7 foam on the outside and your sheetrock on the inside. Now we're approaching an R30 in the walls, and stucco was very cost effective. We took a lot of the cement out. We added the acrylic. It became a much quicker process. It was a 2-coat process instead of a 3-coat process. It was much less messy. But what you need to know about stucco is, as cost-effective as it is, both in installing it and in what it does for you by insulating your home, is that it is not waterproof. Okay? So it's only as waterproof as the paint that you put on it. That's why we tell you, for a stucco home, you should be applying 100% acrylic exterior paint to your stucco about every 7 to 10 years. We don't believe in elastomeric paint, and we don't believe in ceramic paint. There is no way to recoup the additional costs that those cost you. If a good exterior paint job lasts you 7 to 10 years, you're going to spend 3 to 4 times that much for a elastomeric or a ceramic-based paint, and they aren't going to last 3 to 4 times longer. So we like the acrylic exterior on stucco. It breathes. It lets moisture out and rejects moisture from saturating. And that's why stucco is so dang popular in the desert environments. Popular in California, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. Welcome to our stucco subdivisions. And when I married sweet Jennifer for 4 years going through college, I worked for a stucco company. And that's right when we changed from three coat cement to acrylic. So I was kind of like hands on, Mr. Kenny Grice. And I was always in the office doing the estimating, but every once in a while he'd let me out in the field and slop some mud around.
And it's not that paint is waterproof. It just helps shed the water
off.
That's right. And the newer the paint, the better it sheds. And it still perplexes me why we're still building that way. The way building technology has advanced over the last 20 years, that they're still doing the stick and stucco.
We call it silly sticks and stucco.
Yeah.
As opposed to now... the masonry that they have figured out how to insulate without having to do a big old fur out on the inside and eating up a bunch of your floor space. Now we just put up concrete block and fill it with foam called the Integra system. And I think it's absolutely the right way to go.
Yeah. And a lot of great alternatives that, you know, we just can't seem to educate the builders. It's a better way. And I was saving it for later. But I don't know. We got a few minutes. Might as well go off it now.
Save it 5 seconds. Because
okay.
I still got 1 foot on the soapbox. I want to say something about the insulation value. It doesn't pay to spend a lot of money insulating your exterior wall if you install a bunch of cheap windows. Okay? So if you're going to insulate your envelope, spend the money on good doors and windows. All right, now I'll step off the soapbox. Go ahead.
Well, this was something I pulled
out
of Scientific America talking about 3D printed houses. We were talking about the Habitat house that we watched. Well, this process by WASP, WASP out of Italy, is working on finding the right components to match with your soil to 3D print your house with on-site materials. So you pull, instead of having to truck and ship materials from, you know, wherever they came from, lumber, you know, a lot of it's coming from Canada and Northwest.
How green is that?
You know, that's one of the great things about masonry. Most of our masonry products, you know, are sourced and made here locally. Well, if you could come on site with a 3D printer and add things like hemp and liquid binder to your clay soil to 3D print your house, not only... And so you're thinking, well, okay, what do you do with all the dirt that came out? Well, that's your basement.
Amen, brother.
And eliminates 95% of the mass that would typically need to be transported to the site. And one of the things that I always think about, and this article hits at the end, is, you know, when you're watching these silly sticks and stucco houses go up, it's like, then what? You know, how long is that house going to last? What happens in 40 years when you got to tear all these things down and restart? Where does all that material go? You know, it's just going to the landfill. Well, with this, when it reaches the end of its life, it can simply be broken down back to the base material and reused. It's a zero waste or circular model that goes back thousands of years. And it talks about today homes on Mount Erie in Sicily that were constructed of local materials 10 centuries ago.
Yo,
that
baby.
Still living in.
Yo,
why,
baby.
Why we build these things that are so temporary.
Well,
and so expensive.
We're big fans of masonry, that's for sure. Now, in wrapping up...
That would be interested. You know, with the marijuana coming back, the hemp and liquid binder. pulling the structural fiber strength out of.
How old was that house? In Italy?
Oh no, it was talking about the process.
Material. Oh, okay.
And the homes on Mount Erice in Sicily are ten centuries ago. Made out of local material.
You don't think the silly sticks and stucco houses are going to be here in 10 centuries?
No.
One of the other topics
not
we
even
talk
a half
about
a century.
As the most asked question, and we were asked it a lot, is what are the most common repairs or remodels for my older home, these homes we're talking about? And the kitchen remodel, y'all have all seen it. It's the commercial. We, for some reason, in the 70s, we thought it was a really good idea to flood your kitchen with fluorescent lights and put a bunch of clear plastic lenses on the ceiling. Well, you got to get rid of that. If you're still living with that, you got to get rid of that. Tear the soffits out. Go in there with some good LED recess cans and get rid of that. Another thing we're doing a lot of is filling in sunken living rooms. And you can read about that in our blog. It's a much bigger job done properly than a lot of people are doing it. And you never fill a sunken living room in by using floor joists on top of your concrete slab. Never, ever do that. It's got to be filled in with concrete. You've got to raise the electrical receptacles to be the appropriate code-approved height above the new finished floor. You've got to do some specialty termite pretreat. And you've got to anchor that new infill slab to the existing stem wall and slab in a very particular way. It's all detailed in our article, Fill in Sunken Living Rooms. Get rid of the fluorescent lights. Replace all your original toilets, even if you don't remodel the room itself. Many of you went into low-flow toilets when they became available, and you're still flushing them 3, 4, and 5 times. The new low-flow toilets that have been out for about 7 or 8 years are worth it. You flush them one time and the job is done. And actually, when we wrote this article, we said replace all shiny brass hardware.
That would be advice.
But I have to tell you, the last 3 jobs we did with interior designers,
They're putting brass back in. There's a reason it went out of style the first time.
Oh, boy, it's very hard to maintain, that's for sure. And the last thing was turning your carport into a garage. Again, it sounds simple, but there are code restrictions on that. You must do it properly.